Right, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll sing a few songs. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Lord, I know it's dark and wet and windy outside, but it's warm and bright inside, and I pray that you'd be warmer now. And please be with us, Lord, as we take this wee bit of time singing your praises, taking time in prayer, Lord, even just apart from the word, just you and us, Lord. I pray you too for Stan and Ed Bissett and Phil Seeley and John Asquith and Roger Hain, for all of those, for Glenn Wilkinson, for all those that love you and want the full counsel of the gospel preached, Lord. Please put your good hand upon us. Bless us, Lord, and inspire us and give us the words to say this evening that will be a help to us. We really do need you, Lord. There is a lot going on in the world, and I pray, Father, you'd be one of our number and just give us what we need. We love you and thank you. Pray that you'd be with all those that are absent, especially Pat and Steve and Will and Frank too, Lord. For those that have slipped and slid, Lord, I pray that your good hand upon them, that you would restore them to walking and talking with you and to Christian fellowship. Father, we love you and praise you, and we leave these things at your feet along with our private prayer requests, and you know what they are. Please be one of our number and minister to us this evening. Right, let's sing some of those good old songs. I think it's going to be a big hymn book special time tonight. So if you would like to turn to, we'll not start with that one or that one. Yeah, we'll start with 240. 240 in the books. 240 is the Lily of the Valley.
Bye.
first hymns that I ever learned whenever I came to Bethel. Amen.
Let's see.
All right. Let's go to 101. 101, this is a wee bit of a new one. It's called Jesus Never Fails. We have sung it once or twice before, but it might be a bit on the new side to a lot of you. But if you need to, we have a verse before you start. Well, that's grand. If you don't, just jump right into the rest of us. 101, if you're able, let's stand as we sing Jesus Never Fails.
Chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail through the third part of the stars of heaven. And it cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule the nations with the rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of gods, and they beat her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying to heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings, a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times and a half time, from the face of the serpent. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after a woman, which might cause her to be carried away of the flood. The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. That's a powerful piece of scripture there. I think I would like to take a moment and have a very impromptu little bit of Bible study, and just let you know that this is Israel that that John is writing about here. It talks about the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This is the 12 tribes. And being with child is the production of Jesus Christ. Talks about the devil being the great red dragon. The seven heads and 10 horns is the city that sits on seven hills, which is the Vatican City. And the 10 horns is the 10 leaders that are setting themselves up even now in this world to rule the world. And they will all give their power to the devil for a little bit of time. Verse 4 tells us the deception that went on in heaven, and it talks about the old devil convincing one third of God's angels to follow him. So just bear in mind any time that you are beset by temptation, by one of the devil's angels tempting you, there's always two others out there to help you, so just bear that in mind. It talks here too about Israel being persecuted, and all of her people fleeing Jerusalem. That's again in Matthew chapter 24. There comes a time it gets so bad, God says to all the people, just run. If you're outside, don't go. It's going to be so tight, don't even go back into your house for a bag or anything, just run for the hills. And already there are Christians preparing to feed Israel for 3.5 years in the mountains. Already people have been putting stores and things aside. As you go on, it reads the last little bit here. I don't care about the devil. You should be aware of him, but there is an ongoing battle, and the devil will lose. He is the worst of losers, and he will always try to take as many with him as possible. The very tail end of this speaks of Israel and the great persecution brought on her during the tribulation, great tribulation, and it talks about the world being convinced to persecute the Jews. And we see that. We see it even now, but we see it written here. But the woman is given two wings as a great eagle. In other words, she is able to escape. She is nourished there for 3.5 years. And verse 15 talks about the devil casting a flood after the woman. In other words, sending many, many people after the woman, trying to destroy her. Verse 16 says the earth helped the woman. Now, if you read Revelation 6, chapter 6 through chapter 16, you will read exactly what's going to happen on the earth, in the earth, to the earth during those 7 years. There's 21 judgments which will account for about half the population of the world. So you're talking about 4 billion people. It says the earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood many of those people. But you have, and it always has been the way, the dragon, the old devil, hates God's creation, but more than that, he hates those in God's creation that have chosen Christ as their Savior. And he will make war with you at every opportunity. It's funny you should be reading that, but that sort of dovetails quite nicely into my message this evening. Anyway, has anybody got any prayer requests? You are prayed for anyway, Paul. Mm-hmm.
Just put PS, don't forget about Paul.
It's written there.
I have written it in my, that's the one thing I don't write in my, because I will turn and see who has them.
Anybody else, any private prayer requests? Yeah.
Yep. Lane? Just thank the Lord that my legs healed up.
We are thanking the Lord for that too. I know Pat and Steve have private prayer requests. Please do pray for them. Steve is coming along. His walking is improving. He's still very weak. He needs some prayers. They are trying to get him well enough that he can motor about himself in the house so that whenever he gets home, he is able to get in and out, because he is required to be on dialysis 3 days a week. He was supposed to be on, I think he was down for an MRI this morning just to check the abdomen, and then he was going to be on dialysis from something like 11 o'clock until 3 or maybe 4 o'clock. So I'm due to go see him tomorrow, so I will pass on your regards and ask him how he's doing, but please do keep praying for him if you will. Are there any other prayer requests that we need to make a note of? I think there was something, I think there might have been someone jumped into the foil this evening from the Craigavon Bridge, because there were police and rescue vehicles on the bridge at about 6:15, just before we called for you. I was fully expecting them to still be there. So please do pray for the family of that person there. It's such an awful, dark and stormy night. Please do pray for them. Other than that, anybody got any thanks? Got Norman's thanks? I'm thankful we're getting the stuff done in the house and we're moving ahead. And we are getting on with getting things done and helping us get other things done. That's about that then. Yeah? Okay. Let's have a quick prayer and let's sing a few more songs. Thank you, Lord, again for, Lord, all your many blessings. You know Ling's heart and Colin's heart. You know Norman's, Mayona and Monica's, Pat's and Steve's and Will's. You know our private prayer requests, Lord, and you know the needs that we really have. And we know as well, Lord, you've told us that the Holy Spirit asks you for the things that we really, really need. He makes intercession for us with words that can't be uttered. And I'm thankful for that, Lord, because a lot of times we want what we see or what we think, but we don't actually know what we really need. I pray you, Lord, for our needs to be met. I thank you, Lord, that so many of our wants have been met as well, that you don't just give us just enough, but that you've heaped many blessings upon us. I just pray at this time for our private prayer request. Please, I pray you grant them according to your will. For those that are sick, for loved ones that don't yet know you as Savior, for things that we still have to accomplish with our lives, I pray for those too. I pray very especially for Norman and his health at this time, for his leg, for Pat and Steve, for Steve's health, and for Pat's health as well. We remember too Christine and Mary Ann and Pat Hain and Roger as he looks after. For my own dad, Lord, for the people that we know, for the folks on the street, Lord, that we see, well, maybe not every day, but we see a few of them. Please, please, Lord, speak to each one of those folks. Love you so much, Lord, and if we knew exactly what it was that you had done for us on the cross, I think we would, after we got over, we would never be done with tears coming down our eyes, just waiting to hear from you, Lord. Please, Father, I pray, open people's understanding. Help others to see and to hear and to understand. Please save souls. Please, Lord, I pray, restore backsliders and help those that have slipped and slid, Lord. Pray for the Borlands, the Hoes, the Edgars, the Robinsons, the Bonners and the Lamontons and the Cooleys at this time, Father. Please, I pray. Love you and thank you. Leave these things at your feet, Father. Pray that you will grant them according to your will. And most importantly, Father, for your will to be done. Pray for that wee woman that was put in jail, Isabel, for that other fella, Enoch, Lord, and for Christians that they be made aware of their need to exercise their rights in case they take them away. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for saving us. I ask of all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right. Let's take our hymn books again. Amen.
One here somewhere. There we go. 281. 281. Ask me not what Jeff will say. Definitely all know this.
Why on earth are you?
there. If you would like to go exactly 100 hymns to your right, and we'll stand and sing Fight the Good Fight, and then I will allow you, I will give you 15 or 20 minutes of rest to your vocal cords, plus VAT tax and shipping, and we will bring the message. Fight the Good Fight, 381, and let's stand as we sing. John chapter 6. Good to be in the house of the Lord. It's even better to want to be here, to enjoy being here, and to know that whenever you come, there'll be something here for you to take away home with you, something that will help you. Maybe it's a bit like turning up at the buffet and finding all that they have is broccoli, sprouts, and cabbage. It's not very fun on any of them, but each one of them's loaded with iron and lots of vitamins, and all very good for you. Maybe not sweet enough or fizzy enough or anyway. We're here. It's good to see you. God bless you. I pray the Lord to be with you, each and every one, including myself. I'm depending on him for the words for this evening. But he's always been faithful, and I love the fact that he loves me and he wants the best for each and every one of us. He loves us all. Wants us all to see. John chapter 6, verse number 47. Going to read about 24, 25, just through to the end. The Word of God says, beginning of John 6, 47, how hard is it to be a Christian? That's our title for this evening. How hard is it to be a Christian? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven, and if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Does this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore I said unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Amen. How hard is it to be a Christian? I have a few places where a few verses, verse 60 and verse 68, are the verses that come to mind in particular, but the verse 60, where the disciples said, This is a hard saying, who can hear it? How hard is it to be a Christian? Let's have a quick word of prayer and ask for the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, please bless us. Give us a portion of understanding. Help us, Lord, to see the truth in your teaching and preaching. And I pray the Lord for a faithful reproduction of what it is that you need for us all to hear. Love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I know many times whenever a minister stands at the front of the church, some of them can put on airs and graces. And some of them, more than there should be, they behave like they're above everybody else in the scriptures. But I want you to remember this. Every time that you hear a minister at the top, at the front of the church, unless he's a complete and utter cowboy, and he's downloaded his sermons off of the internet, which some of them do, and I kid you not, the minister has had to hear and work on the sermon, he's had to hear the sermon at least twice, and he's had to write it out at least once. So technically, that would make the minister three times more needful of the sermon than the folks that sit in the congregation. It's always worth remembering that. And whenever I was a young man staying in Union Theological College, where they trained the Presbyterian ministers, you couldn't have kept a pint of milk or a piece of food in the fridge because they were all thieving gits. Whenever I said this to my old boss, he said, Well, you know what, Mark? They have to experience these things before they can preach about them. I said, I wish they would experience them on somebody else's dime because it's costing me a fortune. Well, I was only a student back then, but there you go. As we read this portion of God's word, we're not talking about zombies and vampires drinking blood and eating flesh. We're not doing that, just in case you're wondering how you're thinking. This is Jesus Christ getting into the nitty-gritty of victorious and successful Christian living. Because sometimes it's not easy to live in this world as a Christian. Especially when everybody else says yes, and the Word of God says no, and you and I as Christians are called upon to fly the flag for God. So it's great. And Jesus had followers whenever he was healing the sick, casting out demons, when he was turning the kids' packed lunch into dinner for 5,000 people, plus women and children. Whenever he was calming the winds and the waves and walking on the water, people were clapping their hands and saying, look what this guy can do. But whenever it came to the preaching, all the rest of that stuff was saying, I'm God Almighty. Only God has ever been able to do these things in the whole history of man. I'm God Almighty. You know me by my works. That's what Jesus said. He says that about us. He said it about himself. You'll know me by my works. I have the power over life and death. He said I could even lay down my own life and take it up again. The power to call the fish up out of the sea. He had the power to tell the weather just to cool its heels. He even told the water, I want you to stay under my feet and just get ready for Peter because he's going to need you to stay under his feet too. He defied the laws of physics. He just told them, just you hold on a wee second. This is your boss talking. And things were great. Things were wonderful when they were getting a floor show. But whenever Jesus said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And what he was saying is, the Son of Man is one of the names of Jesus Christ. But did you know one of the other names of Jesus Christ is the Word of God? Look in John chapter 1, I think it calls him the Word of God. There's one other place where it mentions the Word of God made flesh and dwelt among us. Verse number 14, in John chapter 1 it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten Son of God. How can you eat a word? How can you do that? It's quite simple. You put it in. You put it in your eyes, you put it in your ears, whichever way it is that you communicate, you put it into your brain. And Jesus said, well, whenever you eat a banana, you peel it, you put the banana in your mouth, you chew it and you swallow it, and all the vitamins and the carbs and everything that goes to make up a banana becomes part of your body. When you eat an egg or a piece of fish or a piece of meat, the protein goes to keeping your muscles. When you eat a spud, it gives you the energy to exercise those muscles. When you eat your veg, it's like putting the oil in the car, keeps everything running smoothly. And we are commanded by Jesus to commit this word to our hearts. This is what Jesus was saying 2,000 years ago. Unfortunately, people are people. And as Jesus was preaching this, a lot of the people were saying, we love the floor show, but whenever the preaching starts, things just cut a bit close to the knuckle. I love getting my belly filled with the bread from heaven. I love seeing the demons getting cast out. I love seeing the crippled man get up and walk. I loved being in the boat and seeing the wind and the waves just completely calm, with enough of a headwind to get us home. I loved seeing that. I loved seeing that maniac of Gadara come wailing and roaring down the hill and stopping dead at the feet of Jesus Christ. And then seeing all the pigs run down into the water. I loved that. That was amazing. Did you see that? If we talk about that, are we Christians? Do we feel holy when we talk about things like that? I think we do. And then Jesus says, do you see all the other preaching in the Bible? You're supposed to make that stick in your life. Now, do you mean to tell me we're not allowed to drink? The Bible says you shouldn't be drinking. Do you mean to tell me we're not allowed to carry on with our neighbor's wife or our neighbor's husband? Do you mean to tell me we can't go out and go to the pagan temple on a Friday night and the synagogue on a Saturday morning? Do you know what? God, those things are just a bit tight. We want to be like everybody else and get up to what everybody else is doing and make sure we're still going to heaven. Well, folks, I'm afraid the two don't mix. We want to be like everybody else. just about everybody else is on the broad road that leads to destruction. God doesn't want it that way. And for 6,000 years, the gospel has been available to folks. It's just that folks don't want the gospel. The writer of the gospel wants folks, loves folks. But the folks that read the gospel don't want God. And they said, you know what? That's cutting a bit close to the knuckle. And a lot of them went away because they enjoyed the fun times, but they weren't that keen whenever it came to applying the gospel to their lives. There's a big thing in the world today about the worship of youth and strength and might. And it actually staggers my mind that anyone can be bothered enough to get up and actually put the effort into to doing bodybuilding or whatever it is. But there is a big push for that. That's what people worship. They think for some reason it is going to extend their lives and give them an eternity. And so many people give their lives over to that. God said, if you make my word part of you, of your life, if you eat my flesh, if you ingest the word of God, well then you can't really help but get saved and become a Christian. Over the centuries that Christianity has existed, there was a company called Rome, one of the greatest empires the world has ever seen. Still a lot of influence left in the world, a lot of the road works and things like that. They always made great roads. They said it was one of the cornerstones of their society in keeping all the various parts of their empire connected. But, now where was I going with that? It's gone out of my head, sorry. No, it's gone. That's what I get for long introductions. We unfortunately live in the days whenever people don't like hard things. They don't like anything that requires a bit of effort. Certainly don't want anything that is going to build up their character. Because there's been teaching for so long that everything that you believe and that you want is the most important thing in the world, that they're not even able to consider that there may be other more valid points of view than theirs. And sadly, that's what brings us to this current point in life and the whole history of man, where the teachings of the devil are more observed than the teachings of the cross. In other words, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. And that is why so many people just refuse the gospel. That is why even so many Christians, whilst they faithfully turn up at church once a week and they'll do that for their whole lives, they will not be turning up in heaven because they ain't saved. They were reared to go to church and they're maybe good folks, but going to church is not going to put you in heaven any more than going to McDonald's is going to turn you into a hamburger. What actually stops people from being Christians? Or what is it that seems to cause so many Christians to choke whenever it comes to believing God's word? Now, I want a couple of scenarios. I've got in church and I've got out of church. It's not hard to be a Christian in church, although sometimes it can be for some people. You're surrounded by other people that are believers, or at least you should be. You get to hear at least one whole chapter of God's word read out to you, and you don't even have to turn a page. It's not even hard to listen to the Bible. In church, somebody else is doing most of the work. You get to hear the best songs you're going to hear all week, unless you happen to have a tape of good old gospel songs or a CD or a download. And they may not be in tune, but they're joyfully and faithfully and heartfeltly, if that's even a term, rendered and sung. Joyful noise. We get to put money in the plate. Lord, this is what you've done for me this week. Here's a few shekels to support the work. In other words, put your money where your mouth is. You get to do that. Most of all, you might not enjoy the fellowship of believers, but to have the best of company, because God himself promised that whenever two or three are gathered together in his name, he'll be there. The only books that are going to be used is the King James Bible and some of those good old hymn books. We're not even going to look up contemporary Christian music and all the wackadoodle clappity slappity songs that they sing, and the one-line hymns that last for half an hour. We're not going to do that. You get an hour away from the world. There should be as few influences as possible where you can contemplate. You get a minute or two to sit and just ask questions. God, is what that guy's talking about for real? You get to contemplate. You can talk to God in your head and say, God, would you have your man? Look, I prayed this for in the service of another guy, and God used him. If there is a question that you're just asking, ask him, God, time and time again. Why don't you just ask him to say, well, God, if that's for real, would you have Mark speak or mention it in passing in the service? I'm more than happy to be used of God. You get to praise God. We're only going to sing Christian hymns. You get to consider God during the service. It's all the stuff that I'm talking in the Bible. If you don't know, well, then you should make sure. And hopefully you go home with a wee nugget of wisdom that helps you to grow. That's when it's easy to be a Christian. You might not know all the Bible verses, but again, all you got to do is go home and learn a verse every day or a couple of verses in a week, and you'll get there. But once you step outside of these doors, it can be a whole different ballgame. Then you get to take all of the things that you heard and have heard for all the years behind you into practice. And it's just not so straightforward. It's easy to say, God bless you whenever you're in church. And it's easy to stay off the drink whenever you're in church. And it's easy to stay off the cigarettes. It's easy to stay off the drugs. It's easy to stop chasing other women or other men when you're in church. And God's name is front and center. But when you're outside in the world, your feelings, and the old devil with his temptation are out there calling out for your attention. Your friends, your family, your work, your neighbors, your hobbies, even your old habits. They all want to be heard, and they want a piece of you. And that is when the rubber meets the road. That is when you, as the Bible says in James, whenever you see yourself, you become a man beholding yourself in a glass, and you get to see yourself for what you really are. Through Bible eyes. Are you prepared to say no to family whenever family wants to do something that's just downright not biblical? Are you prepared to say, well, God, you know what? You can do it one of two ways. You can say, well, guys, look, I'm a Christian. The Bible says I shouldn't be doing that. By all means, you go ahead. I'll do something else. Or, look, I'm not going. That's just it. Are you prepared to say no to friends, those family, as you said, to pick for yourself? Whenever their activities, they fly in the face of the gospel and they're doing stuff that's just downright not right. Are you prepared to say no to yourself whenever old habits give you a kick or a tweak in the ear? Whenever your old activities demand your time and your money, are you prepared to say no to that, or is it a real all hands to the pumps battle? Are you prepared to lose out to the world to be humbled because you refuse to bow the knee to the world, the flesh, and the devil? Are you ready to set the internet or the newspaper or the gossip to one side and just hunker down with God's word, even if it's only for 10 or 15 minutes? Have you steeled yourself and prepared yourself to give to God in tithes and offerings at the cost of leaving yourself short or your desires unfunded. How hard is it to be a Christian then? I am sure folks have many theories as to why it is hard to live for God, especially in a godless world. I think the simple answer is God's people are going one way and the world, everybody else, is going a whole different way. And the only time we meet is normally at speed. And you know what it's like when two cars are going in opposite directions and they hit each other. There's normally a bit of a calamity. I think the main cause of the failure of Christianity in this world is that Christians love the world too much. I used to think that, or used to say that when the rapture comes, it might have to come twice for a lot of Christians because many of them are so weighed down with the love of things in this world. But whenever we're threatened with the loss of stuff or glory or power or riches, we choke. We stumble. We hesitate. And it's not that we choose comfort. We choose pleasure in these over service, duty, and honor. And I am going to tell you something, friends. There have been many men that have done great deeds for their countries. Books have been written, films have been made, and people have sat silently with mouths open as the author or the film producer recounts these amazing deeds. But for some strange reason, there has never been a film made or a book written about someone sitting on their backside on the couch watching the TV. And there is a reason for that. It's completely boring and wasteful. And it lets us descend to our lowest standard. Whereas whenever service and duty and honour are pursued, they build us up. They make us strong and better even as we pursue them. The reason we're even speaking English today is because there are men and women that gave their lives by the million to keep Germany in Germany. And until us Christians see the pleasure and the thrill, the honor, the joy, the success, and the pleasing of God in the things that they do, nothing will ever change. Until Christians realize that it's not all about your own aggrandizement, that it's not all about our own glory and our own riches. It's not about building ourselves a little kingdom here in this world. It's about populating heaven for God. And allow Him to decide what we do with the stuff that He has blessed us with. Until we do that, we will always default to fighting to fill our own pockets and bank accounts, instead of doing our duty to the man who gave his life for us. Now, there is going to come a day whenever we say goodbye to everything. There is. It might come tomorrow. It might come next week, next month, next year. But it is coming. We've got to say goodbye to our nearest and dearest, our friends, our neighbours. We get to say goodbye to our money and our health and our good looks. Are all going to disappear, although I have been blessed with still keeping my good looks. Yep, nobody laughed. My wife's laughing. What?
How did you get that haircut?
I like that the way it is. That's the way I have to shave up to there every day. Um, until we really understand that all the things that we have are there by God's good grace, and they are not in charge of us, but we are in charge of them, and they're nothing but tools, an asset that we can use. And as a Christian, to preach the gospel, we're never going to get it right. We're only ever going to be living half a life. We'll be miserable in the world because we know better, because our souls are saved, and we know all of the people that we're out in quotes fellowshipping with them are on the road to hell. And then whenever we come to church, our conscience, in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, is convicting us of our bad behavior. We're miserable everywhere. Pick a side. Until we do, we'll be miserable. You think about all of the things that people are tempted to do. You say in a church, what do people get tempted to do? Steal something. The Bible says there's no thief that's going to inherit the kingdom of God. We're tempted to drink, to do drugs, smoke. The Bible says no drunkard's going to inherit the kingdom of God. We're tempted into illicit physical relationships. The Bible says no fornicator or adulterer is going to inherit the kingdom of God. In fact, those that are given over to strange flesh, as the Bible says in Romans 1, the man put aside the natural use of the woman and burnt in the lust one towards another. The Bible says that folks like that's not getting into heaven. And there is a reason for that. Because all of those activities will destroy you. One of the rare places in this world where you can catch a disease that can't cure. And will drop your life expectancy at most in about 10 years. AIDS. AIDS is still killing people. Even though the pandemic's out there, AIDS is still killing people. And most folks who turn up in the STD clinics are there because of their own stupidity. And yet in all of those things, people say, we demand our right to do X, Y, and Z. And they're literally killing themselves with their behavior. All the things the world, the flesh, and the devil will try to tempt you to do. Chase after money, it'll be great. I have seen people chase it. We have seen the people that have been so-called running these countries chasing after money and power. And not one of them looks happy or joyful. I can tell you, hand and heart, not one of them looks like they're going to heaven. It all starts as harmless fun, and it will end up consuming everything and being very harmful. On the other hand, the things, the activities, the things that God has for us, the fellowships, even being able to praise God, to give, to support the work of God, there is a joy in that that a lot of people don't understand. And I know I mention money from time to time in the church. Friends, the lights don't work by prayer, let me tell you. I'm more than happy to turn them out and you can pray as hard as you like and see if you can raise up a bit of glow in the church. The lights run by electricity, which is selling at about 25p per kilowatt hour. Even though they are all LED, someone needs to put their hand in their pocket to pay for them at the end of the quarter. Money, belongings, life, strength, health, all of these things, we need them all. In their proper place, of course. But God has everything we really need. He has the things that are good for us, that will make us better, not drag us down to the level of an animal, of a brute beast, the Bible mentions. A lot of people say those things are just for old fogies. I can guarantee you as many people that carry on doing things that old fogies say they shouldn't be doing will never get to be old fogies. They will cut their own lives short. These are the best things. If you miss the cut and thrust of combat, why don't you start fighting for men's souls? If you miss clever conversation, start contending for men's souls. Learn the Bible and allow the Holy Spirit to put the bits together in your head so that you can give people the words of eternal life. If you feel lonely when you're out even in a crowd, Christian, remember the friend that's closer than a brother. If you feel that God has abandoned you, I would like for you to remember he promised in three places that he'd never leave you, he'd never forsake you, and he'd never cast you out. Try talking to him. It might more be a case that we abandon God. If you're worried about what it's all about and how it's all going to come to an end, there are so many verses in the Bible. The ones that are always on my mind is everything will work out the best for you when you get saved and when you do what God says, even when it seems tricky. What's the worst that can happen to you if you go out and serve the Lord? I'll tell you the worst that has happened to me. I was up in Craigan Heights speaking to a school teacher. I was talking to her about the Bible, and I saw something out of the corner of my eye, and I held the Bible up, and a rock hit the Bible that would have split the teacher in two. That's the worst that ever happened. I think Stan maybe got an egg thrown at him one time outside of the foil side. I said, Stan, you just must bring the worst out in people. The worst that's happened to me after that is maybe being out in the cold and having the tips of my fingers cold because I was preaching on a cold day. Or tramping through the snow and having water in your shoes whenever you're putting leaflets in through doors. That is the worst. No, actually, I'll tell you what the worst thing. The worst thing is having someone stab you in the back that you thought was a brother. That's the worst that can happen to you. But even at that, it didn't kill me. It made me wiser. It made me bolder. As the Bible said, in the last days, even the very elect will be deceived. And that's why it's so important. And that is why Bethel Baptist Church is founded upon the Word of God, not the feelings of people and not the espousals of an eloquent preacher. It's on the Word of God. And it is so important. That's about half the size of a car battery, maybe a third. And guess what? Your car won't run without a battery on it. And we as Christians won't run without that on it. At the tail end of Matthew 11, and then I'm done, honest. At the tail end of Matthew 11, the Lord gave this invitation to everybody. He said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. In other words, folks, it's getting hard. Come to me. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sounds good to me. Lord, help us. Then Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. God has something for us to do. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. That's unusual. In other words, if I read a little bit of the Bible and think about some of the stuff written there, I will actually find rest unto my soul. It said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is unusual. As Christians, we're not bound for hell. As Christians, we're not subject only to our most base desire. As Christians, we have God at our right hand and our left hand, above us, below us, in front of us and behind us and within us. We can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. It doesn't have to be hard to be a Christian. One more thing, and then definitely done. Anybody ever see on lights, camera, action, or you've been framed? Anybody ever remember? see the way they have people falling off swings flat on their back, and I'm going, I know that really hurts, but the guy bounces up and he's fine. You ever see those? I can almost feel my feet tingle and my knees tingle when I see people hurting themselves like that. I've seen a couple where there's a guy getting into a boat. They step off the pier into the boat and they feel the boat weight wobbling about, and instead of lifting the foot that's on the pier and stepping into the boat, they stop. And so he's got a foot in the pier and a foot in the boat, and what happens? The boat starts to creep out, and every single time the guy falls into the water. That's what will happen to Christians when they try to embrace the world. That's when the Christian life is hard. You step off that pier as a lost man into that boat as a saved man, and you will be in the water, and the boat will keep you bone dry. That's what God wants for us. I want to stop there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you for humouring me and sticking with me. I think we have one hymn left to sing. Hymn number 305. 305 in the big books. Yield not to temptation. Let's stand as we sing. Yield not to temptation. Please do pray. If you are of a notion to do some of your own, take a handful of the tracts and put them anywhere you like. There's my phone number that's on them, so it'll only be me that hears about it. There's no blowback on you, don't worry about it. But don't be afraid to tell people about Jesus. Times are tight. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Please bless us as we go home to our homes. And please watch over us, Lord, and remind us of what it is that we need day by day. Please save souls. Please use us, Lord. Please don't be done with us. We love you and praise you. Thank you for saving our souls. And thank you for all that you've blessed us with. And we ask all this, Lord, as especially our private prayer requests. Pat and Steve and Pat Hayne too, Lord. And we leave all of these things at your feet, Lord. Please grant them according to your will. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands, fellowship for a bit. We are dismissed.